Welcome to the Lifecast. We hope that you find this ministry of New Life Assembly of God as an encouragement to you. You will hear messages and lessons in God's Word by our staff and special guests. Enjoy the podcast.
Today we're going to celebrate communion. We're going to do that in just a few minutes here. And so I'm going to read the passage that the Apostle Paul writes us in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 about communion, what he passes on to us. And going to highlight a little word or phrase in there. And then all I'm going to do is I'm going to tell you a story right out of my kitchen and out of my heart. That's what I'm going to do. And then we're going to celebrate communion together. So 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23, the Apostle Paul, he writes to us, he says, "For what I received from the Lord, I will give to you," or deliver unto you, "that on the night that the Lord Jesus was betrayed, he took bread, he gave thanks, and he broke it, and gave it to his disciples to eat, as he said this, 'This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' And in the same way, after supper, he took a cup. He said, 'This cup is a new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Whoever, therefore, eats the bread or drinks of the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty concerning the body and the blood of the Lord. So let a person examine himself," say the word examine. Person ought to examine themselves, "then, and eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without discerning the body eats and drinks judgment on himself. That is why many of you are weak and ill, and some have died. But if we judged ourselves truly," in other words, when we examine our life before God, we take this moment to, "for we eat the bread and drink the cup of the Lord," we're supposed to examine ourselves. Are we in right relationship with the Lord? Are things good and clear and clean between us? If not, we got to make those things right. We judge ourselves based on the information we gather when we examine ourselves before the Lord. Am I in right relationship with him? What's blocking the way? What is he talking to me about that I need to change, or I need to ask forgiveness for, or I need to change my mind about, or what I need to surrender to him instead of imposing my own will? It's that kind of exam that we do within ourselves with the help of the Holy Spirit. And after we get some information, he says, "Now judge yourself. Not one another, but yourself. Judge yourself so that you will not be judged. But when we are judged by the Lord, we are disciplined so that we may not be condemned along with the world." In other words, he doesn't just let you do your thing or let me do my thing. He tries to reach us and talk to us to preserve us so that we don't get lost in the end and we are swept away and condemned with those who don't believe in Christ as their Savior. So that's what this is about when we get together with communion. It's remembering the Lord, that he gave his life, gave himself up. Though he was without sin and he wasn't guilty, he died the death of a guilty person in my place, in your place. He took our sin upon him, and we get from him his righteousness as a gift. He gave it to us. We don't deserve it, but he gave it to us so that we could be restored to a relationship with God. And now we are to say, you know what, I got to maintain this relationship. Part of that is I've got to examine my life. Is God good with me? Am I good with him? What does he need to teach me? What do I need to change? What do I need to ask forgiveness for? What do I need to be delivered from? What do I need to turn my back on? What do I need to be doing from this point forward? Those kind of convictions that he brings into our life. Things in his word that we agree with, that maybe we aren't living out like we should. Things in his word that we try to excuse away as if we have a reason that's better than his word to stay like we are rather than be transformed into the person he's called you and I to be. I want to take a look at this word exam, examine yourself. You know, to what degree do we examine ourselves? I mean, you know, we're going to take a moment and do that today. We're going to examine our life before we eat this bread and drink this cup to make sure things are right between us and the Lord. If they're not, and we eat this bread and drink this cup, it says that, hey, we're opening ourselves up to a whole lot of trouble here. So, I don't want to open myself up to trouble. I don't want to open the door to more of that. I want to do this right. So we're going to do it biblically. Not man-made, but scripturally. So part of it is I have to examine my life, examine my heart. To what degree? I mean, do we just kind of sit and go, oh, I'm supposed to examine my life before I eat the bread and drink the cup, and let's see. Well, no, I didn't murder anybody this week. I didn't steal anything. Well, I didn't talk that bad about people. Well, a few things. I probably should have changed. And so we go through our list. Well, to what degree do we examine ourselves? I mean, when you go to the doctor, I think you want them to be pretty thorough. Not just come in and, you know, stethoscope on the chest and the back, cough a little bit. Well, you sound pretty good. Thanks for coming by. I'd like them to do a little more than that. Examine me. So here, I want to tell you a little story. You know, I'm not hooked on coffee, but I drink coffee. I'm not really hooked on a bunch of stuff. So recently, I'll just tell you, I came across this tea that's supposed to be healthy for you. So I bought some. And it tastes okay. It's not like a fancy, you know, chamomile, chamille, whatever kind of, what kind of tea is that? I don't even know how to say that word. What is it? Go ahead, daughter-in-law. Chamomile? Okay, yeah. So whatever that is, you know, lavender and whatever else and all, it's nothing fancy. I mean, you know, it's me. So, but it's supposed to be healthy, so I figured, you know, I don't drink enough water. I'm going to get this tea. That'll help me, you know, drink something closer to water. And so I ordered it. Well, what I do is I fill that electric kettle up and I turn it on, and then I get out two or three big mugs out of my cabinet. And I put them on the counter, and I put one or two tea bags in each, depending how big it is. You know, I have some of these large cups, you know. My daughter went to France, so she brought me back a tall coffee cup. And, you know, she went to New York, and so she brought back this huge thing. And I've got another one that has, I think, Goofy on it from Disney. And that thing was huge. So I've got these different, you know, world's greatest dad, just like you guys do. You know, we're all the greatest anyhow. You know, just those kind of things. So I put them out, because what I do is, I hate to just put the kettle on, fill up one little coffee cup, wait for that, drink it, and then I just got to do this again later. So I just do it in bulk. That's what I do. Boil the kettle, fill all these cups, and then, because I don't care if I drink it hot, lukewarm, room temperature, lukewarm, or cold. I'm not fussy. So I'll drink, you know, half one of these big cups, be on my way. Now, just so you know, I don't just leave them there on the counter, because that would not make my wife happy. Where are you going to put those? Don't worry, I wasn't going to leave them there. So I go put them away where they're out of sight, she can't see them, and I don't, you know, have something on the counter that doesn't belong there. Don't worry, she was in first service. She heard this. So I put them away somewhere, and then I'll come back, you know, into the house later or later in the day, and I'll just, if it's cold or what, lukewarm, whatever, I'm fine. So there was a night where, not so long ago, a few weeks ago or a month ago, I finished my first nap of the night. See, I don't really sleep through the night. I do naps, like two or three naps through the night. Sleep for a couple hours or two or three hours, and I'm up. So during one of these naps that ended, I go out to the kitchen and, you know, bedroom door's closed. Sue's got the sound machine on. She's in La La Land or whatever, wherever she goes when she's sleeping. And I'm in the kitchen and I thought, you know, I'm gonna make a bunch of this tea. But I think what I'm gonna do is I'm gonna put it, instead of a bunch of the big mugs, I'm gonna put it in this pitcher. And that way when I'm done, you know, I can just put it in the fridge instead of having three or four cups going in the house where she can't see them. And so I got the kettle going. Couldn't find a plastic pitcher. And I've been married long enough to know that I shouldn't go in and go, "Hey, Sue, where's the plastic pitcher?" You know? So, kettle's boiling, and I remembered there is this glass pitcher. Just settle down. There's a glass pitcher that's back behind the glasses that we only really see probably around holidays or maybe a special, you know, we're hosting some people over or whatever. And I thought, I can use that. So I got glasses out. I get that glass pitcher out, put them away. Now this glass pitcher, this is a very special glass pitcher. And I was hesitant to use it because someone very special and meaningful to us gave this pitcher to us. And I counted, it was about 19, maybe 20 years ago that they gave us this. Her name was Carol Hellstrom. And of course, when she gave it to us, I mean, we know that kind of gift really isn't for me, it's for Sue, but, you know, thank you. And Carol and Jim, they're marvelous people, and they don't cut corners, and he's a businessman, and all of that. So, you know, they gave us this gift. I knew by looking at it and knowing them that this was an expensive pitcher. It was the kind of pitcher that it came out, and when we had four children at home, we were like, yeah, you want water, you ask. You don't pour it yourself. You don't touch that. You know, it's that kind of pitcher. It's kind of decorative. It's made in Finland. They were Finnish people. It's like JW, who plays guitar up here. He's a Finlander. He's up from that neighborhood in northern Minnesota. He's a Sumalaina Boika. That means a Finnish boy. And this company who makes this, it's Itala from Finland. I mean, I bought Sue nice things. But I am not spending over $100 for a glass water pitcher. And I know how much they cost now. You see, as I turn the kettle off and I have this reservation about pouring it in here, there was something in my mind that went through that also caused me a slight pause. I don't think I should pour boiling water in a glass pitcher. But this is a really expensive glass pitcher, so therefore, it must be better. I took the glass pitcher and I put it on the counter, and I put the four tea bags in there, and I grabbed the kettle. And I remember pouring slowly, about this much, and hang on. And nothing was cracking or creaking or giving any indication of something being problematic. And so I slowly poured it till it was full and put the kettle away, and the tea is starting to dissipate into the water a little bit. And I thought, all right, I got about three steps away, and I heard this very loud pop and then broken glass. I thought, yep, I don't think you're supposed to pour boiling water in a glass pitcher. And so I looked, I'm like, oh, you idiot. And then I took a few more steps to glance down the hallway because I'm thinking, okay, This is a very special glass pitcher. Carol Hellstrom gave this to us. This came out on holidays and other special occasions. Other than that, we do not see it. And I'm thinking, did she hear that? Because it was loud. And pieces, you know, onto the floor, onto the counter. The dishwasher was open a little bit. Pieces and tea went down there on the floor. So I'm looking down the hallway and saying, did she hear that? If she comes out, now how do I redirect her? Do I say, oh, honey, sir, you woke up. Did you want me to let the dog out? Do you have to use the bathroom? Why don't you go, you know, usher her in there? This is what I'm looking to do. I don't want her to, so I'm soaking up the hot water and tea and check the hallway again. Everything's going really good at around, you know, 12:30, 1 o'clock in the morning, whatever this was, somewhere in there. And I'm thinking, okay, now I got newspaper. I put it in a cardboard box. I'm putting big pieces in, small pieces. I'm cleaning off glass on the counter. I'm emptying broken glass from inside the dishwasher, which was good because one of the pieces went down by the screen and it was time to clean that screen out, so that was convenient. Okay, but, and then pieces off the floor. Then, you know, soak it up, get the big pieces, all these pieces, sweep. Now, you have to understand, when glass breaks, it's not like when food falls. It breaks, and then it travels. I mean, little pieces. So I'm sweeping, you know, out to 15, 16 feet from the accident site. I mean, I'm sweeping, putting it all, emptying it, and it's out in the garage quick. Now, Sue goes barefoot a lot. I am on my hands and knees with paper towel folded and wet. I'm finding little pieces all over. I am literally laying on the floor with my head. I'm looking for reflection. Oh, there's a piece. It reflects off the light. And I mean, I'm under the edge of the fridge, under the edge of the stove. I mean, and then, you know, the counter too. I've got to check. Now I got to take stuff off the counter and look behind. I want no remains. I mean, this is a very special glass pitcher. And I'm starting to feel a little conviction over, you're not telling her? Lord, if this was just any old glass pitcher, I would tell her. She already knows the kind of guy she's married to. I bumble things up. But this was from Carol. I don't want her to cry. I don't want her upset. I mean, not that she's going to make me feel bad. That's not who Sue is. But, you know, when she's trying not to make me feel bad and she's, okay, it's okay. You're like, ah. So, remember, I've got no witnesses. My kids have moved out. This is between me and God now. She's in bed. I've removed all the evidence thoroughly. And then immediately, I start shopping. I got to find this identical picture that's, we've had 19, 20 years. 19 or 20 years. I mean, I'm starting to, this is an ugly word, but I don't have another word for it. I'm starting to scheme. Because I don't want to hurt Sue's feelings. I felt like that was a justifiable motive to keep this from her. I mean, I'm starting to shop. This is like, I mean, this is, you know, more magnitude is a grown person. I mean, this is like your kid goes to camp for a week and we're supposed to take care of their turtle. The turtle dies. The day before they're home, you're running around pet shops. This looks like Herbie. They won't notice. And you're replacing the turtle and passing it off as the original. That's what I'm doing with this picture. All because it came from Carol. So I'm starting to shop. I'm looking and going, these are over $100. I am not spending over $100 on a glass pitcher. And if I were, I would never tell my dad that. Glass pitcher. Then I found some a little below that. Then I came across the identical pitcher. And I mean, I had to search Finland and who makes it and what's, you know, and finally found the model, the size. It's identical, the pattern of the etched glass and all this. Oh. It was $49.99, which still, that's a lot of money for a glass pitcher, at least at my house. And the shipping was $12.99. So we're talking, you know, 60-some dollars. Oh, I bought that. And it was advertised as used, but it was never used, you know. They can't say it's brand new in a box because it wasn't, but they had it locked up in a cabinet, never used. I said that, I was like, oh, Lord, thank you. As the Holy Spirit's going, seriously? You're scheming? I got you a good deal? And you're not telling her. Oh, but Lord, this is kind of between you and me, right, buddy? I'll tell you what really clinched the deal. As I looked at the shipping time, it gave a window of delivery of when she was going to be out of town for 3 days. It did not come during the time that she was gone on the shipping days. I come home. And I come in the house. Hi, there's a little box that came with you. It says fragile on it. I said, I just act nonchalant. Oh, yeah, thanks. Okay. How's your day? And I just start talking. Usually it's the other way around. Hi, my day was good. How about you? And then, you know, then I become a listener. So, you know, but me, I start talking, and yeah, I took the box. I just kind of went down the hallway, back into the bedroom, hit it. And I thought, I don't want to come out there too soon because she might say, well, what's in the box? So I got to buy time. Oh, I changed slowly, went to the bathroom, made a phone call. I'm lingering. So by the time I come out, we can start talking about dinner. And so it just went along, and we started talking about other stuff. And then it was, you know, off to bed, and I'm like, sweet. Thinking now, next time I know she's leaving the house, I'm busting open the box, getting rid of the evidence. I am cleaning and washing that thing by hand, drying it off, and then very carefully putting that back into the back of the cupboard where it was in front of all and behind all the glasses. And days went by. And I wasn't constantly thinking about it, but every time I go to the cupboard and look for a glass, I see it back there. The fake Carol Hellstrom gift to Sue. Well, real recent. She noticed I make these mugs, these multiple mugs. So she thought, you know, I looked up a recipe on, I'll use that tea and we'll make that tea. And she's going to grate some lemons and put a couple things in it or whatever and put it in she said she's going to put it in a pitcher. And I said, oh. So I'm leaning across the counter from her. I said, oh, so she's making this. I said, you want me to help, honey? You know, you want. So, pitcher, are you using that glass pitcher from Carol Hellstrom in the back of the cupboard? No, I'm going to use a plastic one because I'm using the boiling water. I'm like, yeah. She said, and then I'll pour it into there afterwards. I was like, oh, that one from Carol Hellstrom that she gave you, and so beautiful and everything. She goes, yeah. I said, I got something to tell you. She goes, yeah, okay, what? And so I told her this story. I said, I've been feeling some conviction about this. Don't me. I mean, you know, I just, because I'm feeling this conviction from the Lord. I mean, it's not strong, it's not heavy, but it's this. So, you know, Sue's there, and God and I are leaning on the island in the kitchen, and I start telling her this story that I've been hiding, that she would be led to believe that that is the picture from Carol Hellstrom, that every holiday there forward, she would be thinking she has this marvelous gift, and I'm going, that's the fake Carol Hellstrom gift. I told her the story. She goes, don't worry about it. You didn't have to replace it. She goes, here was a real kicker. In fact, I forgot that Carol Hellstrom even gave me that. You mean I could have kept this just between you and I and it didn't matter to her? I mean, this whole time, I didn't have to say anything. And he says, oh, yes, you did. To what extent do we examine ourselves to be clean and clear before God? How clean, how deep do we examine ourselves before the Lord who gave his life that we drink of this cup of which he spilt his blood? How unworthy do I take communion because I only look at the big stuff, the obvious stuff, the stuff we feel some conviction about? How deep, to what degree do we examine ourselves to be sincerely clean before a sincere Savior who gave his life, of whom we give thanks and celebrate and yet hide or explain away? See, not just as the preacher, but the Holy Spirit wasn't going to let this man get away with this. I mean, would this have sent me to hell? Be hard-pressed to say that. But it's one thing that limits the relationship and the flow of his Spirit and my prayers and what we do in life. Because we don't really examine ourselves to the degree of little things. He sees when we blame somebody else or redirect other people so that we can keep something hidden that isn't right in an attitude or an outlook that maybe only God knows about, or the way we conduct business or run a meeting, or how we tell things to our children or the people around us or our neighbor or a stranger or our spouse, or the things that we keep between us and God. And some of that belongs between us and God only. But when it's involving another person, we got to make stuff right. When it's between us and God, we've got to resolve it. I mean, how can we come and just quickly shoot through the main category list and say, I'm good to go, give me the emblems of communion? When one gave his life, that I could even do it. So I want to challenge you today. When it says examine yourself, examine yourself to the degree of even the little things down in here before they get bigger and take root or open the door to a collection of other things. Slowly creeping into our life and affecting our relationship with Him. You see, we're supposed to examine ourselves and judge ourselves so that we would not be judged. And when we are judged by the Lord, it's by His discipline, because He disciplines those He loves, the writer of Scripture says. He doesn't want to let you go easy. He's not going to just let you go. He's going to talk to you. He doesn't want you in the end swept away with those who don't believe. He wants to have a close relationship with you. He wants you to find the joy in that relationship with Him, and it brings hope and peace and answered prayers, because we take with sincerity our faith, our purity, becoming like Christ, that we would be transformed. We would crucify ourselves and live unto Him. We sang a song about bring new wine out of me. The Scripture has a whole parable, a story, and principle that you can't put new wine in an old wineskin. You need a new wineskin to put new wine in. You and I have to be transformed and changed for Him to put new wine in us. We can't just go about things autopilot in the same way we've always done over whatever amount of time. I have to continue to change and pay attention to the convictions of the Holy Spirit, that I would be changed, that nothing would hinder the newness of His presence in my life and flowing out of my life to impact other people, that they could have a taste of who He really is in my life and in yours.
Thanks for joining us on the LifeCast. It is a ministry of New Life Assembly of God in Sparta, Wisconsin. If you are ever in the area, we would enjoy the opportunity of meeting you. Until then, remember, God is for you, not against you.